Well, thank you, Mr. Worden, and happy Sabbath to all of you, and good seeing some of you we haven't seen for a while, too, as well, and appreciate being here. And I will have to say this after mentioning to Mr. Worden about his glasses. I just wanted him to know that my wife and I went in this last week to get our eyes checked, and I found out that my left eye works differently than my right eye. I already knew this, by the way. And right now, if I close my left eye, then Mr. Worden looks, you know, just fuzzy all over the place. And if I close this eye, I can see him perfectly. So if you see me put my hand here over this eye, you'll understand, okay? but anyway, it makes you wonder sometimes when you go in, you know, for getting a checkup, what you're going to have to come out with. And the older you get, the better off it is. Is that the way it is? Well, anyway, we know what happens when we get older and older. But anyway, I'll just mention a couple of things here and go on to the sermon. But we'd been doing some checkups on the ancient magazine or magazine booklet that was put out on the two Babylons, and that was in the ministerial part of what we received this time, where some were asking concerning the new book that's out on both the two Babylons and the other one as well, that the one who wrote them is now saying that what he wrote is not correct. So if anyone has read, and I've forgotten the name of Babylon Connection. Has anyone read the Babylon Connection? I might want to read it. We're interested in maybe getting a report on that to put in the ministerial journal that maybe you could send to Mr. Evans or myself concerning that particular book, too. The Church of God, of course, is growing, and that's what we need to see and to recognize, that we are seeing certain things along the way that we need to evaluate and to continue on with the truth, because the truth is what sets us free. Well, as far as the sermon is concerned, are we seeing prophecy today being fulfilled? Are we seeing prophecy fulfilled? Now, if I were to ask you that same question 50 years ago, you would have said, yes, I see prophecy being fulfilled right before my very eyes. Because doesn't prophecy say that the wild beast will come down into the city? And in Pasadena, in 1957, we had the coyotes coming down to the city. We had you know, the mountain lions. We had, you know, certain big animals like bears, you know, trotting down to the city. And so we must be in the time of the end, or we must be close to the time of the end. Well, here we are now, you know, 60 years later, or however many years it is, and even going way back to the starting of this era of the work, as far as broadcasting and teaching this world certain things that are to come to pass. So if we're seeing the news today, I think we will see that America is in trouble. America is in trouble, but we can't really see how to handle it. In fact, whenever we see certain things like over in the area of Jerusalem, do we see terrorists at work? Yes, we do. We see terrorists at work even in this country. In fact, already we discovered and went through that the 9/11 was traced back to the terrorists who wanted to do us in this country, and was able to successfully do that particular part, which to me was a key as well to keep in mind. Because you'll understand more when I get into the sermon part, but you'll understand that whenever someone tries to commit suicide, if you go back and remember that those airplanes that flew into the tower, those airplanes that flew in, you see, to Washington, and another one was supposed to make it elsewhere, but crashed into the field somewhere, you will find that someone was in that plane committing suicide. And that person who was committing suicide was a terrorist. Have to understand that that's what comes up with a satanic influence. And I'll show you a little later on that that's exactly what Jesus Christ and his apostles experienced during their time as well. And I'll show as we go along with that. So why do we have terrorists today? Is the title of my sermon. Why do we have terrorists today? And what are they out today? And who are out to do, that is? And who are they? Who are these terrorists? And the key for it all is a terrorist is always out to destroy God's way on this earth. That's what a terrorist does, is to destroy God's way on this earth. So we find that God even allows that to take place because of trials and testing along the way too. So all of us are going to have to go through certain testings as we go through this life, and I can guarantee you that as soon as we even see more fruits, we already saw, the tape today that actually, the video today that actually talks about the growth patterns of the Church of God, a worldwide association. And when that begins to do certain things in different places around this world, you are going to see persecution come in the form of terrorists. It's absolutely going to be seen. That will happen because that's what a terrorist does. A terrorist wants to destroy God's way. And anytime anyone preaches God's way, look out and look for terrorists because they're going to be around. They're going to come around. They're going to try to take care of you. And they are suicidal people. Keep that in mind too as well. So what about America? Even the Jewish sector over in Jerusalem now is recognizing and seeing some of this persecution from these terrorists beginning already. And where does that come from? And I'll get to that a little later too as well. But we'll find that what it's all about is that the Jews and the Jewish nation represent the house of Israel, because we have the Jews who are there, and we have the Benjamites that are there, some of them, and some of the Levites that are there as well. And so therefore, that very symbol of their name causes the others to want to persecute and also to tear down, because no one likes the house of Israel. No one likes Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and all the seed or the lineage of them, because they all taught God's way of life and keeping of God's commandments, laws, statutes, and so on. And so therefore, you're going to find the terrorists are there. Now, let's go back and see the first terrorist that came on the scene. Go back to Genesis, the third chapter. Genesis, the third chapter. And let's see here what happened in the very beginning with two people that God had created and put on the earth, Adam and Eve, and what they had to face. Now, one of the things I want to bring out here is that God had placed Adam and Eve in the Garden of Eden to till it. But guess what? He also allowed. At a certain point in time, and we don't know how long Adam and Eve were in the Garden of Eden, but at a certain point in time, God allowed for testing Satan to come into that area and to test Adam and Eve. So he was the first terrorist. Now, what was his agenda? What was the agenda of Satan? To destroy God's way. That was his agenda. Now, notice it says the serpent was more subtle than any beast of the field which the Lord God had made. And he said to the woman, "Yea, has God said, you shall not eat of every tree of the garden?" Can you imagine today? "Yea, has God said that you're to keep the Sabbath day?" What about all these people who claim to be Christians who are keeping Sunday? Is that following through with God's way? Or did they have some terrorists who came in and brought in that kind of knowledge and changed them to live a different way of life, which was not in reality following God at all? Now you think about that as I go through the sermon, because it says here, Yes, has God said? Yes, God did say that. But you see, people want to put questions in the minds of everybody. The woman said to the serpent, yes, we may eat of the trees of the garden. And I've wondered myself why she just didn't say get lost to somebody coming in who's talking against the one who made her. But of the fruit of the tree which is in the midst of the garden, God has said, you shall not eat of it, neither shall you touch it, lest you die. The serpent said to the woman, you're not going to die. Okay, now here's an opposite of someone coming in and beginning to try to change the mind of both Adam and Eve away from God. So you know, in this case, the terrorists, and in all cases of terrorists, they want to switch you from obeying God. They want to get you to go another direction. For God knows that in the day that... It's all kind of reasoning. Remember, he's subtle. For God knows that in the day that you eat thereof, then your eyes shall be open, and you shall be as gods, knowing good and evil. Well, maybe God just didn't want them to understand that at that point until he'd done some more training of Adam and Eve. So therefore, jumping the gun. And when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes. Oh, it looked beautiful. It looked good. It looked nice. And I think all of us have seen certain fruits that look good. And a tree to be desired to make one wise. Now, I didn't quite understand that to a certain degree because what do you mean make one wise? Is this LSD or this some other drug and a thing that you can take to see beautiful colors? You know, Satan is very, very subtle in what he brings about to indoctrinate us with. So she took of the fruit, just like even today, people can see a wild pig. We just saw a movie. Actually, it was just a film showing how they were going out and killing these wild pigs. And they look ugly. But guess what? They said they taste good. Well, here's something ugly tasting good, you know. But God said, don't eat the pig. Somebody comes along and says, oh, you have to realize that when God said that back at that time, they didn't have the cleanliness that we do today. Today we have clean pigs, and so therefore they're okay to eat because they're clean. What do you mean they're clean? See, the reasoning that people use is what the terrorists want them to see and to believe. They want them to believe all of that rather than recognize that what God says is absolutely true. Everything God has said is absolutely true. And so Satan was trying to get this idea into their minds that it wasn't good to do what they're doing. So she took of the fruit and thereof and ate it, gave it to her husband with her, and he did eat it. And would magically they understood something? Or was it the voice of the one doing the talking that made them see certain things as a result of their disobedience? Because it said the eyes of them both were opened. How was their eyes opened? And they knew that they were naked. How did they know that they were naked? And they sewed these fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. You know, God had instructed them along the way, I'm sure, that to be naked as husband and wife was not wrong. But you see, in our society today, I think most of us can realize that what we've done in society, we've gone from one extreme to the other in our society, and the sin of sex today in our society is carte blanche and is wide open. And everybody thinks it's fine. Why do they think it's fine? Because the terrorists have come in and made them believe that through what they said and how they said it even. So they heard the voice of God walking in the garden in the cool of the day, and Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of God, the Lord God, among the trees in the garden. And God said to Adam, where are you? Where are you? And he said, well, I heard your voice, and I was afraid because I was naked, and I hid myself. Now, the key to what I just said is this. He said, who told you that you were naked? So the influence, you see, of what was given and even terms. at that particular point was brought out. Have you eaten of the tree where I commanded you that you should not eat? And the man said, well, the woman you gave me, she gave it to me. The excuses we use today. If you ask somebody why they keep Sunday rather than the Sabbath, what kind of excuses would they give you? And the same thing with you're eating unclean meat, such as the crabs and the oysters and the pig meat and all the other ones that God said don't eat. They'll give you an excuse of why they eat it. So all of a sudden, you find a lot of people have allowed the leavening of untruths to come into their minds. And they don't believe that it's wrong in some of those things to do it because they were told that it was okay by some individual or by some scientist or someone who's well known. And people tend to look to those kinds of people rather than to God. So you'll find that the terrorists always try to get us away from God and get us to not to believe in God. And verse 14, the Lord God said to the serpent, because you have done this, you're cursed above all cattle, above every beast of the field, and upon your belly shall you go, and dust shall you eat all the days of your life. So there's even a distinction there of an ending. All the days of your life. So why do we have terrorism today? It's because of Satan. Satan has come in and has influenced certain people along the way to cause this all to come about. And so he's the greatest and the most cunning and subtle person on the face of the earth, or being on the earth, because he has deceived the whole earth, is what it says. Now, to me, that was interesting to look at it even from that viewpoint. He deceived the whole earth. Is it possible for him to deceive the whole earth? Why is it that we can look back and we can see that Abel was righteous before God? We can see that Enoch was righteous before God. And you go about, 1,800 years? I don't know exactly how many years it was from the time of Adam to Noah. But then all of a sudden you get to Noah's time, and here's Noah who was faithful before God. So you can find maybe, 3, 4, 5 people maybe that was really righteous and tried to carry on God's way of life. But by the time of Noah, it says in Genesis 6 and verse 12, that all of the earth was corrupt before God, and they destroyed his way. They had destroyed his way. That's what terrorists are out to do, to destroy God's way. So all of a sudden now you have, as I think I mentioned before here too as well, you find that from Noah's time, you'll find that chapter 10 especially skips all of the rest of the sons and just says from Shem and his younger son on to Eber, and does not mention the other children that were there and the other sons that were there at that point. And from Eber on down to Abraham, who kept God's laws and God's commandments and statutes and judgments. And then you have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. And you have, after Jacob, you have Joseph and the two sons, the grandsons of Jacob, who were blessed with the blessing of that lineage on down until now, because the lineage went through the house of Israel during Moses' time. Because Moses was a Levite. And he was, you see, part of that, and so was his brother of the Levitical line. And both Caleb and Joshua, they were a Jew, and of the tribe of Ephraim, coming out of the land of Egypt. So we find then that all of a sudden, this group of people who were given the laws of God to be kept and to observed were coming out. Who do you think they're going to be met with? Terrorists. Terrorists. They're going to be met with terrorists coming out of that area. And that's why you'll find that Joshua, during the time of Joshua, who fought the battle against who? Against Amalek. Against Amalek. In fact, Amalek was one of the ones, I'm not quite sure even yet, whether or not he was just named after the first Amalek, or the Amalekites. But we know that a lot more of those Amalekites came along after Esau's son and grandson, because that's where that line came from. And his territory that he lived in was Mount Seir. And when the Israelites came out of the land of Egypt, led them by that area to go into the promised land, that's when Amalek, or the terrorists, met them and tried to destroy them to go in and to set up God's way in the Jerusalem area. So that group of people have existed a long time. What is so interesting about all of it is that not only did we have Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob at that particular time living in, starting out in Ur of the Chaldees and then marching on up the Euphrates River up to Haran, and where the father died there, and then Abraham and Lot went on down to Jerusalem. But Abraham had been given all the land from the Nile River all the way to the Euphrates River. All of that land belonged, you see, to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of their lineage descendants. But who do you think thought it belonged to them? Who would you think that all that land belonged to? Remember that Abraham married an Egyptian handmaid, and he wanted him to carry on God's way through Abraham's lineage. And you will find that at that particular point that God said to Abraham, no, it's going to be carried on through Isaac. It's going to be carried on through Isaac. It's not going to be carried on through Ishmael. So Ishmael, if I could put in a word at this point to say, if you were to look that up and recognize that that word and the words that have to do with Abraham's son that was not of the right lineage, you will find that that son, of course, is what is known today as Islam. In Esau's time, you will find that Esau was a follower of his half-uncle, if I could term it that way. He was a follower of it. And so that's why they referred to as Muslims. You know that Muslims actually mean followers of Islam? And so therefore you find that both were firstborn. Ishmael was the firstborn of Abraham through the Egyptian maid. Okay, half Egyptian, half Hebrew. And then you came along to Jacob's time, and you find that his twin brother was the firstborn. Firstborn of Isaac was Esau, that came out first, whose name was referred to as Edom and the Edomites. And later on, of course, the whole area down where Mecca is, which is the most holiest place for Islam. And the same thing with Mecca, and the same thing with the Dome of the Rock. What was interesting to me was that my wife and there and I in Huntsville, Alabama, when they were building the Van Braun Center for the space things that were going on at the time, Moshe Dayan was there. We heard Moshe Dayan speak. And there was someone at the back of the room who had a mic, and he was asking or allowing them to ask him questions. And they said, we know that there's a battle going on between Israel and Egypt. What are you guys going to do, since you're the general there in Jerusalem? What are you going to do about Egypt? And he said, if Egypt continues to do what she's doing, she will be no more. And the man came back on and said, do you have the A-bomb? Do you have a bomb powerful enough to destroy Egypt? He said, I will only say that she will be no more. And then he went back home. Well, we found out later that when he went back home, that for some kind of a reason in the Knesset there, they made some orders that he had to follow through with. And he gave the Dome of the Rock to the Islamic group and said from then on, and you can check this out with history, from then on that the Jews or any of the other Christians could not go up to the Dome of the Rock area and have prayers. And that's why the Wailing Wall is there, so that they could have all their prayers down in another place rather than on the Temple Mount, as they refer. So now all of a sudden, now you're seeing again, as Satan was in the Garden of Eden, we find that Satan is also on the Temple Mount. You find that anyone who causes this kind of problem and the usage of suicide, even. And it makes you wonder sometimes what happened during the apostles' time as well. And I won't necessarily read it, but you can go and read it too as well. But you'll find there in John, the 13th chapter, it says, Satan entered Judas. And Jesus said, go and do what you have to do. And so he betrayed Jesus to the people there, and they came to take Jesus. And they, guess what? A terrorist that was in amongst them, who was a thief and a robber, he wasn't true, was he? Guess what he did? He went and hung himself. He committed suicide. The terrorist movements are suicidal people, and it all came from Satan. Satan instilled that within them. And you're going to see more and more of that as time goes on. So we're going to see terrorist groups come and come and come. And right now we're going to see them surrounding Jerusalem, etc. But what, the terrorists want to do is to take us away from God. Well, let's go back and read a couple of scriptures on that. Let's go back to Exodus, the 17th chapter. Exodus, the 17th chapter. And let's begin in verse 2. 17 and verse 2. Wherefore the people did chide with Moses. Now, why would they be chiding with Moses? Were they terrorists coming in among them to do that very thing? Chide with Moses and said, give us water that we may drink. And Moses said to them, why are you chiding with me? Wherefore do you tempt the Lord? And the people thirsted there for water. And the people murmured against Moses. And if you're murmuring against Moses, you're murmuring against God. Because God was the one who chose Moses to carry on his way. And a little later on, in the 20th chapter, you find that he used Moses to give the Ten Commandments to. And to bring them back down. Say, this is my way. This is what you should follow. But you see, the terrorists were there even ahead of time. Wherefore is this that you have brought us up out of Egypt to kill us and our children and our cattle with thirst? Physical things that Satan worked on. Moses cried to the Lord, saying, what shall I do to this people? They be almost ready to stone me. So he was going through some trials too as well. And the Lord said to Moses, go on before the people and take with you the elders of Israel and your rod. And therewith you smote the river, take in your hand and go. Behold, I will stand before you there upon the rock in Horeb. Now remember that Jesus was referred to as the rock of the Old Testament. So who was he doing all this with? Jesus Christ, standing on the rock to accomplish what needed to be done. And you smite the rock and you'll come out water. There will come out water, and the people may drink. And Moses did so in the sight of the elders of Israel. And so he called names of the place, Masha, and so on. But guess what happened after that? The terrorists came back. The terrorists came back in the form of Amalek. Then came Amalek and fought with Israel in Rephidim. And Moses said to Joshua, choose us out men and go out and fight with Amalek. Tomorrow I'll stand on the top of the hill with the rod of God in my hand. And Joshua did so as Moses had said to him, and fought with Amalek, and Moses and Aaron and Ur went up the top of the hill. And it came to pass, when he held up his hands, that Israel prevailed. And when he laid his hand down, Amalek prevailed. So you have, you know, God and the terrorists. God and the terrorists at work. And Moses' hands were heavy, so they had to really prop him up to be able to win that particular battle. My point is there that you find that there's always terrorists who do not want us to obey God and to serve God. And you'll find that a little later on through Exodus 17. And when they actually talked about what are we going to do now? Are we going to go back to Egypt? Go back to what? To death or to suicide. In other words, why would they go back into what they just came out of for 400 years? You see the attitude of the terrorists that come along and try to convince you of certain things. Well, let's go to Exodus the 19th chapter. Exodus the 19th chapter. And beginning in verse 3, it says, Moses went up unto God, to the Lord, called him out of the mountain, saying, You shall say to the house of Jacob, or the house of Israel, Tell the children of Israel, You've seen what I did unto the Egyptians, and how I bare you on eagle's wings and brought you to myself. So God was bringing them to him. And interestingly, the Israelites in the land of Egypt hadn't kept the Sabbath for quite some time, and God actually had to send manna down while they were in the wilderness to teach them what the Sabbath was all about. And that's where he also gave the Ten Commandments and the laws of God to Moses to give to all the people. He said, this is God's way that we must live, God's way we must continually keep alive on the face of this earth. And it has been kept alive. But you had your terrorists in between to try to stop it as well. So you can see what I did to the Egyptians, how I have brought you on eagle's wing and brought you to myself. And that should be a clue also to people who find themselves in certain positions wondering what's going to happen next. We always have God. If we serve God, if we're faithful, loyal to God, yes, we'll go through trials and we'll go through testing from God. But God will always intervene and bring us out of it. That's what he continues to do. And that's why you'll find that the Old Testament actually ends with the statement that we should get back to the faith of the fathers. As far as belief in God and understanding who God is and what he stands for and what he's going to be doing. Otherwise, we'll lose out on being kings and priests that God has promised us at the end, just like he promised Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and Joseph, and Ephraim, and Manasseh, and all of those who came down through that lineage, which comes on down to us today at the spiritual level, even in the church of God, that we have been promised rulership over this earth. Now, who right now, you see, has deceived the whole earth? Revelation 12:9, Satan the devil has. The adversary. The terrorists have. And the terrorists are making big waves on the earth today. Even among the Israelites and those who actually have striven to keep the name of Christ alive and the name of God. And they're running into trouble. They're running into trouble just like just recently. And I was really surprised. It came on the news that even some Jewish people were saying that it's been the custom of this country to keep Christmas. And was going along with it. And I've never heard of any Jew who would go along with, you know, with Xmas or with Christmas. Maybe they're there and I just didn't know it. But I thought, well, this is really a change. So here's another example of showing the tribe of Judah, at least parts of the tribe of Judah, or a few people in the tribe of Judah, wants to go along with what the terrorists have brought in. Where did all of these things come from? Why did God say to the seven churches in Revelation 2 and verse 3, I have somewhat against you because you've allowed Saint Nick to come in. You've allowed these pagan things to come in and to actually bring leavening in to destroy the work of God. And people have said, oh, we didn't quite understand that. Well, that's because of Satan. See, and because of the deception that came in along with that. But what God said here to Moses, now therefore I will, verse 5, if you will obey my voice indeed and keep my covenant, then you shall be a peculiar treasure unto me above all people, for all the earth is mine. Now, the terrorists would have you believe it's theirs. Can you imagine what happened in Ishmael's life, as well as Esau's life, who were both firstborn, but were not able because one was not of the lineage properly, and the other sold his birthright and actually hated his birthright, which meant he hated God because he didn't like what God was doing. And whenever the world was to be controlled through the Abrahamic line, through Abraham, Isaac, Jacob, and Joseph, and Ephraim, and Manasseh, which it is to this day, then the terrorists began to come in to tear all that down and to make havoc of all of God's name that's being perpetrated by people who want to believe in God, but in some cases don't really understand. And they'll tear that apart too as well and get people to believe otherwise. So all the earth is mine. And he says something in verse 6 that we've got to hang on to. And you shall be unto me a kingdom of priests and a holy nation. These are the words which you shall speak to the children of Israel. Now notice the promise that God says in verse 8. Well, I'll read on, because Moses came and called for the elders of the people and laid before their faces all these words which the Lord commanded him. And all the people answered together and said, all that the Lord has spoken, we will do. Did they? Go back and look at the record. When the terrorists came in and began, you see, to have all of these things that almost sounded good, but wasn't right before God, to get the people to do and to go away from God and to leave God, because that's what they wanted to do. So you'll find these terrorists have been around for a long time, around from the beginning, actually. Let's go to Exodus 20. I'll just read one little small part there in Exodus 20, a couple of pages forward here. Exodus, the 20th chapter. Beginning in verse 1, it says that God spoke all these words. It's God who spoke all of these words. And it is God who will work with us throughout all of the time. And he gives all of his laws, his commandments here. In another place, of course, he met with Moses, and Moses wrote out all of the ways of running the camp of Israel, and giving him the laws and all of the things of how to take care of problems that come up and how to answer people's problems and that kind of a thing. And he'd gone through and said all of these things. But notice in verse 18, all the people saw the thunderings, the lightnings, the noise of their trumpet, and the mountain smoking. And when the people saw it, they removed and stood afar off, and they said to Moses, speak you with us, and we will hear. But let not God speak with us, lest we die. Lest we die. And Moses said to the people, fear not, for God is come to test you. He's come to prove you. He's come to test you to see what you will do. And that his fear may be before your faces, that you sin not. That you sin not. And, of course, committing suicide is a sin. Destroying God's property, something that he brought about, something that he made. And Satan is so real. I remember when I was in letter answering department in Pasadena in 1990, before all of this broke loose, Satan was beginning to work, and all of you here know that, because all of a sudden you had all of these doctrines that were coming out that were not according to the scriptures. And you saw that. And that's why God actually caused and allowed all of that to take place. Because he had to prove who was going to stand up for him are the terrorists. who were bringing that about and causing that to come about. And even in one area, to show you how sly and how subtle Satan is, and it crept into the leaders of the church at that time, because in letter answering department, I was asked personally by the one running the department. He said, "Do you believe that we're going to become the very sons of God?" And I said, "Well, the scripture says we're joint heirs with Jesus Christ. Yes, we are part of the very family of God, and God calls Jesus his son. And he calls all of us his sons. Yes, we're part of that family." He says, "Oh, no, we've come to believe because we've looked into it, and we've come to believe that God is building a separate family between him and the angels." Okay, and here's another step, you see. Satan coming in with the people who want to cause people to go away from God, and he'll bring another idea in. Oh, well, we're not good enough. And one person even told me, he says, "Well, we're not good enough to be God's sons." I said, "Yes, we are. Through Jesus Christ's sacrifice, we're good enough to be God's sons." That's simple. Simple equation if you want to look at it from that viewpoint. So a lot of people are accepting certain things along the way. So people have to understand the difference between what the terrorists do and how they function and how they work. And right now, having turned on the TV for the last 3 months, I can see the terrorists at work. Others can't see it. Only we who have God's Holy Spirit can actually see what's happening around. So it's up to us and up to the Church of God, a worldwide association, to preach and to teach this to the whole world, to help them to see what's happening and to recognize that we should stand up for God no matter what. No matter what, we should stand up for God. So when you read Numbers' account as well, I won't turn there now, but Numbers, the 13th chapter, you will understand other things that coincides with all of what I'm saying, even here right now. That the terrorists are the ones who do the work. And notice a little later on in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. Jeremiah, the 7th chapter. We find here that the peoples who were there and in and around Jerusalem, that was of the house of Israel. And, of course, we know that even in the wilderness, and even coming into Jerusalem, there were a lot of problems that had to do with that too as well. But here in Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, notice the attitude of Israel. To me, that was important to see and to understand. Jeremiah, the 7th chapter, and beginning in verse 17. See you not what they do in the cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem? The children gather wood, and the fathers kindle the fire, and the women knead their dough and make cakes to the Queen of Heaven. So all of a sudden, here's the terrorists coming in to promote their ideas and concepts that would keep people straight with their doctrine and with their understandings. And to pour out drink offerings to other gods, that you may provoke me to anger. Why would Israelites fall for that? Why do Christians today fall for certain things that might come along? Why would they fall? Testing is going to be there for all of us. Do they provoke me to anger, says the Lord? Do they not provoke themselves to the confusion of their own faces? That's what they're doing. Therefore, thus says the Lord God, behold, mine anger and my fury shall be poured out upon this place and upon man and upon beast and upon the trees and the field and upon the fruits of the ground, and it shall burn and shall not be quenched. See, God is going to take care of it ultimately with fire. That's what he's going to do. And notice what he goes on to say. I thought this was interesting. Along with this, thus says the Lord God of hosts, the God of Israel, put your burnt offerings unto your sacrifice and eat flesh. For I didn't speak unto your fathers nor commanded them in the day that I brought them out of the land of Egypt concerning burnt offerings or sacrifices. Was he referring at this point to what they were already doing to the Queen of Heaven? and to the other gods in the area. God never commanded any of that. But the terrorists did. The terrorists commanded all those things. But this thing is what I commanded them, saying, obey my voice, and I will be your God, and you shall be my people, and walk you in all the ways that I have commanded you, that it may be well with you. But they hearkened not, nor inclined the ear, but walked in the counsels and in the imagination of their evil heart, and went backward and not forward. And since the day that your fathers came out of the land of Egypt, even unto this day, I have even sent unto you all my servants, the prophets. Yes, God did send the prophets to them and his servants daily, rising up early and sending them. Yet they hearkened not unto me, nor inclined their ear, but hardened their neck, and they did worse than their fathers. They did worse than their father. Yeah, it continually gets worse, doesn't get better. When the terrorists get involved, you're going to find that that's what's going to happen. And you'll find that God said a little later on, let's go to Jeremiah, the 44th chapter. Jeremiah, the 44th chapter. And let's see what was said again. Jeremiah 44, and beginning in verse 17. Notice it says, but we will certainly do whatsoever thing goes forth out of our mouth, to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven. This is what we'll continue to do. Boy, they were pretty brazen to do that before God. And to pour out the drink offerings unto her, as we have done, we and our father. Do you think it's going to stop? If you were to get up and preach till you're blue in the face, that whenever they offer the hot cross buns to heaven in Astarte's time, that people will stand up and listen and say, what are you doing? What are you doing? Same thing back then. Same thing back then. Cities of Judah and in the streets of Jerusalem, for then we had plenty of victuals and were well and saw no evil. So it got turned around on them. But since we left off to burn incense to the Queen of Heaven and to pour out drink offerings unto her, we have wanted all things and have been consumed by the sword and by the famine. What they didn't realize is they disobeyed God, and God was punishing them for it. But they were claiming it was because they weren't offering offerings to these pagan gods. See, that's the mentality you'll find being given to those who listen to the terrorists and those who try to change things around. And when we burned incense to the Queen of Heaven and poured out drink offerings to her, did we make her cakes to worship her and pour out drink offerings unto her without our men? And you can skip up and see what the women had to say about it too as well. But God says he wasn't going to any longer bear with that and with the evils of their doings, he says in verse 22. In verse 23, it's because you have sinned. And they're referred to as abominations in chapter or verse 22. And he goes on to say, because you have burned incense and because you've sinned against the Lord and have not obeyed the voice of the Lord, nor walked in his law, nor in his statutes, nor in his testimony, therefore this evil has happened to you at this day. So he finally tried to turn them around, but that didn't stop them at the time. So you'll find that the terrorists followed. And I can't say except the fact that there's sketchy evidence of it, but we know that the terrorists worked back in the Garden of Eden. And we know it worked all the way through the amount of years, whether it be 1,500 or 1,800 years between Abel and Noah. And God's work had been destroyed on the face of the earth, so he destroyed the whole earth and all of it. And he started all over again through Shem and through Eber and through Abraham and Isaac and Jacob. And along the way, during Abraham's time, these other groups came up. Yes, God said to Ishmael, you're not going to be the first, but I will make 12 nations of you, or 12 princes of you, which can become 12 nations, in that whole area of Saudi Arabia. And the same thing with Esau, who wound up living with his half, uncle. In other words, he was there also to bring down the pagan gods from Pethor when Israel came through. The Ammonites, Balaam, back in Numbers 22. They tried to destroy the Israelites coming through. That's terrorist work. And so God intervened even at that time and caused the mule to talk, right? He stopped the whole thing from happening at that point. But later on, it continued on. It's continuing even to this day. In fact, he told Samuel to tell Saul, I want you to kill every man, woman, and child, which in our eyes today would be genocide, of the Amalekites. Kill every one of them, and they wouldn't do it. And so they became thorns and thistles and terrorists even to this day. Against who? Against all of those who are following God and the religion that God set up through Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob. They have their religion. They have their god, Islam. Just recently, in fact, I even read in the encyclopedia, you can do this in Wikipedia, I think it is, where I was reading about Muhammad. And it said in history that he ascended to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob in the kingdom of God in heaven. And I thought, these terrorists are trying to confuse people because Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and David, and all the others are not in heaven. How could Muhammad ascend to heaven to be with Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob? He couldn't. See, the scripture talks against that, but people can't see that. And so you'll find a lot of people will swallow Islam and Mohammedism, meaning those who follow Islam. And it's going wildfire right now around this earth. I don't know yet what God is going to do about all of that. If it's not time of the end, God will do something. If it is the time of the end, we're going to see more scriptures come to pass and prophecy being fulfilled, which I suspect seems to be, at this point, you know, what's happening, is that we're seeing before our very eyes, which makes us want to even cling closer to God than we've ever been before. Because we want to be like Him. We want to await that promise that He made us. Turn back to Revelation, the first chapter. Revelation, the first chapter. By the way, the book of Revelation is what God added some 60 years later from Jesus' time, the culmination of His plan, of what He's doing. And so therefore the book of Revelation is just a cap on the rest of the Bible to let us know how God is finishing His work to accomplish what He wants done. The revelation of Jesus Christ, verse 1, which God the Father gave to him to show to his servants things which must shortly come to pass, and he signified by his angel to his servant John, who bare record of the word of God and the testimony of Jesus Christ and of all things that he saw. So there's three different factors there, because John was around, you see, when Jesus was talking. Remember, he even said at the end of the book of John that he said, I could write more on all of this, but he says the world wouldn't contain all the books that could be written on what Jesus said and did. That to me was just overwhelming to even hear that. So here John understood that, the Word of God, and he had the Word of God even anciently. He had the Old Testament, which was also the Word of God, and the testimony of Jesus for 3.5 years at least, or longer than that. In that sense, because I don't know exactly the timing involved there. But he said here, blessed is he that reads and they that hear the words of this prophecy. And this is the key to prophecy. And keeps those things which are written therein. Hold on to them. For the time is at hand. Now we don't know exactly on that. But the time is at hand. At least it's at hand in our lives. I mean, we've been given up to 100 years to live, and some of us are approaching the end part of it. So the end is near. You know, one way or the other, the end's going to be there. And then, of course, a split second later is the kingdom, if we die before then. But if not, it's still but a split second that we'll be changed and made spirit and be with God in His very kingdom. And so John wrote this to the seven churches. Now, it was interesting to me, and we're going over this, by the way, in the prophecy team, over these seven churches and what they represent and what they were told. And interestingly, when we read what they have to say about each one of the churches, you find that these were the ones who were faithful and didn't follow Nicholas and didn't follow the people who keep Sunday today. Didn't follow those people who claim even to be Christians. You think about that. There are some people who claim to be Christians. But the point of it is we should not follow any of them. And he was saying that these churches had good points, but they had some bad points as well. Like, for instance, the Thyatira church accepted Jezebel back into the church. And my point was that, yes, the worldwide church also accepted Jezebel back into the church. So maybe it's our responsibility to go and to preach and to teach them that the terrorists that have moved in to destroy them needs to be destroyed. And they're destroyed by the fact that everyone goes back to observing and keeping God's laws and commandments and statutes and judgments. And that we keep going in the direction God has called all of us, and then we are then true servants of the lineage of Abraham and Noah and Abel and Enoch. In other words, the ones who obeyed God, the ones who wanted to serve God, the ones who wanted to serve and to do what God wants us to do. Let's go back now to Matthew 24. Matthew 24, and we'll end with a couple of scriptures, because we're going to find that the terrorists are going to magnify. Terrorists are going to magnify. It's going to become worse than it's ever been. And we have to be ready for it. Ready for standing up for whatever God says for us to do, and we don't accept excuses in the sense of saying, oh, God wouldn't expect that of you. Or if you find out that the universal church actually changed the Sabbath from Saturday to Sunday, why should we follow suit? Why should we follow the ways of even some so-called Christian organizations who are switching things around? That's the beginning of terrorism. The terrorists come in and tear apart and use the agility they have from Satan of coming in with all kinds of things that would fool people and the following them. Can we be fooled today if we are not close enough to God? If we're not close enough to God, we better draw closer to God than we've ever been before. Because Jesus talks about what's going to be happening, and I won't go through all of it because the end's not yet, but there's going to be wars and rumors of wars. That's going to happen from now on. And they're going to have famines, pestilences, and they're going to deliver us up as well. Now, we're not well enough known. One of the things I saw back in the radio Church of God leading up to the worldwide Church of God at the time was that we kept talking about that we were going to be persecuted and brought before magistrates for our religion's sakes. And we found out that most of the time throughout all of that, we were persecuted from within. People came in and started persecuting us within the church. And so there's going to come a time, though, that when the world will be mad at us, and that's why I say the Church of God, a worldwide association, is going to have the faith and the strength to go forward knowing that God will back up what they're saying and doing, as long as we repeat his words and what he says for us to do. God will be with us. If we allow leavening to come in, I can guarantee you that we will be corrected by God. We will be corrected by God, because God doesn't want to lose even one of those that he's calling now to be a part of that first resurrection and part of being a priest and a son. And don't let the terrorists of this world take that away from us, because it can happen. It can happen where it can be taken away if we allow it to. But Jesus says here, many false prophets, verse 11, many terrorists are going to be coming in, and their job is to tear apart and to get rid of God. Oh, they say they love God, and they want to produce certain things that claim that they love God. But do they really love God? And then it goes on to say, he that shall endure, verse 13, to the end, obeying God, serving God, standing up for God no matter what, the same shall be saved. And this gospel of the kingdom shall be preached. So we have the faith and trust that the Worldwide Association of the Church of God will be able to do that because God said so. And if he said so, it will be done. It will be done. And then shall the end come. Because it's going to be done as a witness, and then shall the end come. And when you see the end, this is going to happen. The greatest terrorist movement against us personally will take place. Against us personally will take place at the religious level. When you therefore shall see the abomination that makes desolate, it causes desolation at the spiritual level. That is trying to knock down those who have served God and obeyed God. Spoken of by Daniel the prophet, stand in the holy place. Whoso reads, let him understand. Then it's going to be a time for those in that area to flee. And I firmly believe that we're going to have an office in Jerusalem. And we're going to have a church in Jerusalem. So that we can fulfill what God says for us to do. And in closing, let's go back to Daniel. Daniel, the 8th chapter. Daniel, the 8th chapter. Again, showing how these terrorists work. And what they will be doing. And what God allows them to do. God allows all of these others who are terrorists to come in and to make trouble with Israel. In fact, even as I understand it, two nations are in the making there with the Gaza Strip and the West Bank. Then there's going to be a fight over what is the capital or where is the capital of Jerusalem. So you talk about all of these terrorists coming in, and the ones that are doing there are from the other two lines, not Abraham, not Jacob, but Ishmael and Esau. Go read your Bible and see who lives in the areas that they had to fight against. And you'll find that they have multiplied like flies. Not only that, they've extended themselves around the world. And right now, there's over, I think it's 1.8 billion. If I can use the term Amalekites and terrorists on this earth. Muslims. And I'm supposed to be writing something on that. And I'm striving to write it in a right way using the Bible to determine it, not my own personal idea. So we need to understand and realize that this is coming. Notice what it says in Daniel, the 8th chapter, and beginning in verse 8. Daniel 8, and beginning in verse 8. The he-goat. Now, do we know who the he-goat is? Yes, verse 27 says, the rough goat is the king of Greece. And if you read Daniel 11th chapter, verse 1 and 2, you'll find that the king of Persia, who was Satan during this particular time, after he does what he was supposed to do, it says he's going to stir up the king or the priest of Greece, Grisha. That's back in Daniel 11. But here in verse 8 it says, the he-goat waxed very great, and when he was strong, the great horn was broken, and for it came up four notable ones towards the four winds of the heaven. And when you look at that, you find that there are several areas around Greece now, and I had thought, actually, that whenever Greece was falling apart and failing, that maybe we need to switch our understanding that either prophetically speaking, it can happen again too as well, that Greece is going to need the support of four other nations. And if Greece gets the support of four other nations, I said if, and that happens, then it says one out of one of those supports of Greece, out of one of them comes a little horn. Notice what this little horn does, which waxed exceedingly great toward the south, toward the east, and toward the pleasant land, and it waxed great even to the hosts of heaven. And it cast down some of the hosts of the stars to the ground and stamped on them. Tremendous terror and terrorists at the spiritual level. Yes, he magnifies himself even to the prince of the host, and by him the daily sacrifice was taken away. And the place of his sanctuary was cast down. Jerusalem area. And a host was given him against the daily sacrifice of the spiritual sacrifices that's going on with the church of God. And cast down the truth to the ground, and it practiced and prospered. Yes, brethren, we are going to be facing tremendous terrorists for the future, and we're going to be affected by it. But that those who take after Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and all of those who were faithful before them, and even after them too, because we have all the apostles. We have Jesus Christ who set the pace for us. And we have in the book of John the history of what we need to follow in order to be able to stay close to God. And the message to the seven churches is something that we should read and see what God says would help us to be ready for these terrorists to come.